The Fan on Demand. This is Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Tough day in the hockey world. Scratching out another month of the season here at Hockey Central at Noon. It is official. November's basically gone. And you have about 25 days to get an agreement done, or else December's going to be gone too.
Less than a week.
That is the voice of Rick Natras over there. And across the table is Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Nick Kyprios are on assignment.
Right.
Nick's training.
That's, you can say that, Scott. Yeah,
Doug's advising him.
I'm happy to be here.
You can laugh out loud. Okay. It's all right, Rick.
Doug's his unofficial marathon consultant, advisor.
Yeah.
Right.
Tells him everything he's doing wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lot.
I heard he rubs him the wrong way, so that must mean he's his masseuse.
Nick's good news yesterday.
Because he wants to run away from Doug, right? Yeah. So he figures 26 miles might get him there.
You may be able to outrun Doug physically.
Yeah, I know.
But you'll never escape.
You know.
The announcement has been made, not officially, but is out there,
it
certainly,
made.
That the National Hockey League is following through on its threat that an agreement was not consummated by last night at midnight. So the chance of an 82-game schedule has passed. And now games leading to the end of November have been eliminated. Is this the pressure point where the players go, oh, okay, they actually did it? Or is just we expected it?
Yeah.
It's no real big news.
No,
let's
great
move
surprise.
On.
I mean, everybody knew, you know, yesterday that the rollback was going to be coming in terms of taking back rather the offer off the table. And everybody knew another wave of cancellations were coming. So now I think what the pressure point is, I guess, on either side is when more of those checks stop coming in the door, then how do you feel about that?
Yeah, next Thursday's the day, right? The 31st or whatever, Wednesday. That's their second check. With the first one, you can't even classify that as a check the 4 days.
But we know, you as a player, know that that check's not coming.
No, I know.
So,
but if you got some escrow back,
does next Thursday really matter?
But they got escrow back.
To some guys, it will.
Yeah.
To a lot of guys, excuse me, it won't.
60-something percent.
Just because the reality of today I'm supposed to cash a check.
Yeah,
and
yeah, the reality
there
of the bills are coming and there's not that deposit in your bank account that starts to settle in. And some guys, I don't want to say are living check to check, but some guys need that
most
check
definitely
to come in.
And you're looking, unfortunately, we look at the top 10% that make the millions, like the high millions that should have money left over. And we know that how that goes sometimes. Mm-hmm. But now we're looking at the guys that are playing for the 500s or playing for the 700s and, you know, taxes, living in a home, you know, two homes, one at home and one where they play hockey. A lot of money coming out of their bank account that's not going back in. It becomes a problem.
So the advantage goes to the National Hockey League now?
Oh, I don't know if anybody has an advantage
now. I don't think
so.
I just think it's getting to the point, as a hockey fan, first and foremost, and, you know, everybody knows where I come from, Hamilton, so I get a lot of people asking me the 50-50 thing. Why didn't they take it? All that kind of stuff. You're getting people that aren't caring. You know, is it going to be a mass exodus from the game? I doubt it. But at the end of the day, right now, just another, here we go again. And I think it's getting tiring.
But the offer from the National Hockey League, that 50-50, is off the table now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was based
was
on.
Was it 50-50, though?
True.
Well,
you could
50-50 based on an 82-game schedule,
yeah,
as they were proposing.
But
and
again, was it 50-50 anyways, right? With the cutbacks and escrow and all that other stuff, right? So, is it a lot of people out there don't understand completely? When we heard 50-50, everybody thought that's a done deal because that's what the players wanted. But really, was 50-50 a 50-50?
Either way, it was fudging the numbers.
That's what I'm saying. So, and this is the problem.
Fundamentally, it is 50-50, but there are elements in there that can skew it in a different
direction.
Correct. Do you think the National Hockey League offers that 50-50 deal again?
I think it's the number. I think it's the number that's going to be there. Are they going to get there in the first year? The NHL certainly wants it. I think the NHLPA wants the 52 or 53 to start off.
But here's the deal. Gary Bettman took some heat from a pocket of owners who said he gave up too much in that 50-50. Some legitimate heat. Now he's off the hook from that. He takes that deal off the table.
There was a group of moderate owners didn't like what he put on the table. Yeah. And now that it's off, they don't want to go anywhere close to that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and then you had the money earning teams that through that agreement, and correct me if I'm wrong, that would have had to cough up even more money to help subsidize the teams that weren't doing well. And that couldn't have been a good feeling for them as well.
No, absolutely not. And now the pressure point, I suppose, from an NHL perspective is there's a bunch of teams that want this fixed at any cost. So what is any cost? Is that are we going down the road of another season?
It seems like $3.3 billion. I don't get that. I don't get how can you look at that number and say we're doing so good, Scotty, but we're willing to give it up.
Scotty,
but
Rick, I didn't think we were going to get close to losing another season.
No.
But now I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Absolutely. I was hopeful coming in, but I'm fearful now. And to your point about the $3.3 billion, that's a mass economy, if you will. It's not an individual economy of 30 teams.
No, and I understand that. And that's been my thing for years. And I had a radio show years ago that we used to run through the fan. And we saw the numbers in regards to how many people actually were paying season ticket prices and going to these facilities that were supposed to be that great. There were a lot of numbers were low. But they were fudging those numbers to make it look good. I still believe, and this is putting it out there, 24 teams, more depth on each team, better structure, better economics.
Labor relations, the story in hockey, not only in the NHL, but the Canadian Hockey League as well. And we'll get back to the NHL, NHLPA in just a moment. But first, here's the president of the Canadian Hockey League, David Branch, who received a six-page letter yesterday from the Canadian Hockey League Players Association threatening to sue over sweatshop-like conditions for the players. What was your initial reaction when you went through that letter?
Well, I mean, Darren, it's come to the point where, you know, you kind of get to expect the unexpected. It's been an interesting journey the last couple of months. So I wasn't surprised. And, you know, we'll just move forward and address it as we see fit. And hopefully along the way, we can all find out who the CHLPA is.
Yeah. David, Rick Natras here. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks, Rick.
Good. Well, I saw you a couple weeks ago at Steve Ludzik's roast. We roasted Mike Keenan, and we had a little bit of a conversation. And just to go back on that, you said initially this came out, they wanted to form a union. You had made some contact with them and asked them what they're actually looking for. And is this the first indication of what they're looking for?
Well, you know what, Rick? It's a good question. And as I recall our conversation, I was just trying to say, you know what, we asked who you are, you know, who's your board of directors, what's your source of funding, et cetera, not having heard back. And this latest piece of correspondence would suggest that it's certainly a different approach altogether. And I guess that's a strange comment when you really don't know what they wanted in the first instance, but I'm just bowing to the assessment of our legal counsel who is working through the letter, and we'll provide some thoughts back to Hockey Canada and the CHL.
David, does this group have any, I guess, certification or legitimacy in your eyes, and do you have any sense of how many players are on board with it?
You know what? No idea of what number of players may be involved, if any, quite frankly. Just don't know. It was interesting where they had made application for certification in Alberta, and it was just announced this morning that their request to waive a 60-day waiting period was denied. So I suppose in 60 days from now, we might have a sense of whether or not there is a desire to accept them through the Alberta Labor Board for the five WHL teams in Alberta. But there's a lot of unknowns about that as well, Darren. So really, we're dealing with so many unknowns. I find it awkward and difficult to know how to even speak to the matter, quite frankly.
David Branch is with us, the Canadian Hockey League president. The letter that you got yesterday cited blatant disregard for the bare minimum working standards that have been set for employees. They want the players to be paid at least minimum wage, and also cited intimidation from clubs for attending meetings and speaking positively of the CHLPA. Do you think there's anything to this? Do you understand this? And do you acknowledge that maybe there's work to do from the Canadian Hockey League?
Well, I think, first of all, we're always challenging ourselves on how we can do things better. And I think the steps, the actions, the initiatives that we have taken over the last number of years is proof of that, clearly. I'm not aware of any meetings with players, quite frankly. I really just don't even choose to respond to that. And, you know, Darren, one of the common threads that I always hear from players that played in our league is once they leave our league, in many instances they comment on that outside of the NHL, the best treatment they ever had was when they were playing in the CHL. Because we understand the importance of the player experience and ensuring that their needs are looked after. So,
do you take this group any more seriously today after this letter was sent to you threatening to sue than you did on Tuesday?
I don't know who they are. I have no cause or reason to necessarily fear the unknown, quite frankly.
David Branch with us, president of the Canadian Hockey League, upon receiving a six-page letter yesterday citing that the players want minimum wage and employment standards that are up to par. One other area that they don't like is the 18-month window for the education package. Is that a real issue? And why is the 18-month window in there in the first place?
Well, it was something that we put in there after listening to some focus groups as to what would be a reasonable time period. And what we heard from parents when we first got into this discussion was that they wanted to keep the window reasonably tight because the feeling is, the general attitude out there and statistically proven is that the longer you're out of school, the less likelihood there is that you will return at some point. So we left it at 18 months thinking they could, you know, taste the minor professional life to see if that was something that would interest them and or if they thought their personal goals to play professionally in the NHL or AHL was reasonable. I mean, that's something that, you know, we're always looking at. It's not designed for any other purpose than to serve the best interests of our players and their families. And it's been greeted with great success so far. And certainly we've had no player or family suggest otherwise.
No, David, I think, you know, being a graduate of the OHL with Brantford back in the old days, the old Hamilton Finn Cups, I was one of the fortunate ones that went on to a National Hockey League career and also played in the minors. But it's got to be a tough choice. I've got kids myself, and if you leave something on the table, they either eat it or it goes bad. And I understand, meaning if you got 18 months, it seems like a good thing, but when you've got these kids that are actually pursuing their goals and their dreams in the East Coast, the Southern Pro, International, whatever you want to call it, whatever league that is, do you really think 18 months is that number today, in today's society and the way kids are today?
Good question, Rick. You know, if it isn't, it's something we can clearly look at. But, you know, what I say to kids is, listen, go to the CIS. Great hockey. Get your education. Get your degree. Continue to develop. Then test the waters to see if that opportunity will be there at the end of the day. And one of the classic examples is Joel Ward. I can remember Joel Ward having a very definite conversation with him. He was just finished his first year at University of Prince Edward Island. And, you know, Joel said, you know, Mr. Branch, what do you think? And I said, Joel, stay with it. Finish your school. Get your degree. And you know what? It worked out just fine for him. Now, you can't generalize on one, but that opportunity may very well be there for others. And how do you take away someone's degree?
You know,
we really feel they should continue to track and get their schooling done if they can't get an NHL or AHL contract.
We have to fly here, but will yesterday's letter cause you to initiate a meeting with the CHLPA?
I don't know who they are, Darren.
I can tell you, George LaRocque.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And I think we would go back to the premise of wanting to know who's involved, what's their structure, what's their motives, what's their source of funding.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Friday Night Hockey tonight, by the way. The BB Armada up against the Moncton Wildcats.
That's a good way to avoid it.
When we continue, more on the National Hockey League NHLPA lockout 2012 and the casualty of November's schedule, which is announced today. Plus, the Winnipeg Jets are our team of the day And hopefully we can track down George LaRocque. He's the executive director of the CHLPA. Will he come on Hockey Central at noon and tell us exactly who they are and why they sent that letter yesterday? Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Tim and Sid, today at 1. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There's a calmness around this show today.
I don't know what it is.
Darren Millard, Rick Natras.
Are you kidding me?
You know.
I don't know. There's a peacefulness.
You know, someone's got to move the puck up, and you know it's going to be without effort.
Oh. Right? I don't know what it is.
You're relaxed.
I am.
You know you're not getting assaulted.
I told him he did a great job with the Olympics, and I was just sucking up real quick before we
Yeah, you did suck up right away. Darren Millard, Rick Natras, Scott Morrison here at Hockey Central at noon. Team of the day is the Winnipeg Jets. Again, we're doing a team every day with the hopes of talking about the franchises and the rosters and telling you what they'll be like at the end of this work stoppage when we get a schedule. Now, not sure whether that's going to happen because November's portion has been canceled by the NHL. So at very least, things are probably going to start December 1st, if we can come to an agreement. Here is Kelly Moore from CGOB, our good buddy. What's it like in Winnipeg? We talk a lot about United States, and it's invisible. People don't even notice the National Hockey League is locked out. Winnipeg is a different beast because you got back in last year, and now all of a sudden ground to a halt.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, I kind of thought that there would be a lot more outrage and passion, and I know with some dyed-in-the-wool hockey fans where the NHL is their every fiber and reason for, you know, existence. But for the most part, the people I've come across have just kind of, they've had a real ho-hum attitude about this. And maybe it's three lockouts in 19 years that tends to jade you, or the fact that misery loves company. So, hey, we don't have the National Hockey League, but the 29 other cities don't have it either. So, can't quite put my finger on it. But the other thing you maybe come up with is the foolishness of this lockout when the league had been doing so well, and maybe people are just looking at it from that circumstance. You know, there's no sense in getting all riled up about this because these two sides don't seem to get it anyway.
No, and I think, you know, they waited 15 years, so what's another year? So, I mean, I think the enthusiasm, I was saying to Darren,
it would have been worse if this happened last year.
Yes.
Oh, can you imagine? Franchise, and then you put on hold, could you imagine?
But I think because of the excitement and, you know, there's sort of, thank God, thank everybody for getting a team and having such, you know, even though it wasn't productive on the ice as much as everybody wanted, it was productive everywhere else, and the enthusiasm's there. And I was saying to Darren earlier, I thought that if any team really is going to be the happiest whenever it comes back, will be Winnipeg because they waited so long to get what they wanted.
That is right bang on. There's no doubt about that. And the one thing I think, when you're in a market like Winnipeg, as well as things went last year, and it did go probably even better than the expectations of True North Sports and Entertainment, there is also the realization that there is going to be a leveling off of the enthusiasm, and that would also mean revenue. So, you know, what's being fought over right now probably benefits this franchise in the long run. And I think people see that as part of the, you know, going through the painful process as well. But, you know, it was kind of interesting going to the MTS Center on Wednesday night to watch the NBA exhibition game between Minnesota and Detroit. You have the sense, at least the people that are working for True North Sports and Entertainment on sporting event game nights, they were happy just to be in the building doing their jobs because, you know, it was kind of neat just to actually be there. This city, I think, it understands, you know, why it's happening. But, boy, you hit the nail right on the head. If they'd have the big celebration on May the 31st and then September 15th, all of a sudden, just kidding.
Yeah. Kelly Moore from CJOB joining us from Winnipeg on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Rick Natras, and Scott Morrison.
Kelly, let's talk about the team itself. Goal scoring was a problem last year. They went out and they added Jokinen and Ponikarowski in the offseason. Is that enough to turn this thing around?
Probably not, but you know, I kind of take a look at it from the aspect of, you know, the Jets certainly weren't an offensive powerhouse, but I know in the conversations we had with Claude Noel and Kevin Cheveldayoff and some of the coaching staff, their greater concern is their play without the puck and their defensive standing. They still feel like they have to improve and be a much tougher team to play against defensively. Before, you know, they start to really concern themselves with becoming an offensive juggernaut. So, you know, I think they were more happy to get Ponikarovsky and Jokinen from that being a tougher team to play against perspective, because this added size to the lineup. It added experience to the lineup. And the one area where this team really struggled was on the road last year. So they see these two guys not being the end-all and the cure-all, but at least providing the direction to get better in both of those areas.
And you look at leadership is what you're saying. They needed a little bit more leadership in there. They've got some young players, and they've got guys that need to learn how to play. And that's certainly, being an ex-player, it's easy to play at home. And certainly with that crowd, it's very easy to play at home. It's not like you're showing up to the rink and you don't feel like it. The fans make you feel like it. Going on the road, being a young man, is a little different story, certainly when it's not productive for you and as an individual and certainly as a team.
Kelly, any Dustin Byfuglien sightings out there?
No, he's been down in Minnesota. He has spent his entire offseason and the lockout down there. And I think, you know, for those guys, I know Blake Wheeler's been down there playing a lot too. They've had quite a collection of guys, not when they're getting booted off the ice by the figure skating coach, but no, I know a couple of reporters have gone down to Minnesota, and you know, Dustin and his physique will always be a topic of conversation, but I don't think he's in any worse or any better shape than he was a year ago. And it was kind of interesting when we had a chance to have Kevin Cheveldayoff on for the end of the season exit interview. We asked him about that. We you know, said, are you going to have somebody from the organization monitoring this guy on a workout? And he, you know, and I couched it, you know, are we out to lunch or are we, you know, sitting in the right chair at the table to ask that question? He said, well, I think you're a little bit off the mark there. We're not as concerned as you guys are. So, you know, I just think Byfuglien has to be far more consistent, though. And I mean, we all get wrapped our heads wrapped around how good he is offensively. And he was one of the – he might have been the top-scoring defenseman right behind Erik Karlsson last year, a lot closer to him, if he had remained healthy. And so, you know, he brings a certain element to the table. Are you going to try to change that around? No. But are you going to want him to play a more responsible game? They're gonna tear their hair out trying.
Well, I don't know. I saw a picture of, he was at a wedding in July, and they go back to July 3rd or whatever it was, and he looked like he was about 300 pounds. So that's got to be a concern when you see stuff like that. I know a camera puts on 10 pounds, but this put on a lot more. And injuries through, as it's always through history, has always been through conditioning. And I'm not saying he's not NHL conditioned, but is he? Could he be better? We all could be better, but does he need to be better to maybe really show his true talents?
No, the short answer to that is yes. Mm. And especially when he's playing 25 and 26 yes. minutes a game. And, you know, the other byproduct of that, too, is not only the susceptibility to injuries, but also, you know, the drain on your mental focus. And they lean on him so much, and especially if they had started on time this year with Zach Bogosian recovering from the wrist surgery, they would have probably leaned on him even more so. So, yeah, to your point, you know, it's kind of interesting because you see Dustin and you go, is this guy in the National Hockey League?
Offensive lineman.
Like, offensive lineman?
What were the reviews on Claude Noel last season?
All very positive. It certainly from the organization point of view, I can only tell you from a media perspective, we are extremely fortunate to have a guy like that to cover on a day-in and day-out basis because, as you guys all know, you get those sound bites and you get those clips and you say, we have gold. And I do the morning sports a lot here, and every morning I come in to see what kind of Claude Noel gold we have. So,
well, the flip side of that, though, Kelly, is loose cannon.
Yeah, you know, and they have some work to do. You know, there was the conversation that Claude had with a fan that some of the comments came out in the press, and I'm quite sure that the hockey club wasn't too happy about that. You know, Claude's greatest failing in that regard, guys, is his honesty. You know, he is so down-to-earth honest in everything that he says and does. And as you guys well know, being around as long as you have, that's not always an ingredient for survival in the National Hockey League.
Now, and with his background, and certainly you talked about team defense, and I just wanted to go back to that a little bit. I thought that's what his strength was. And now we're struggling with it because of?
Well, part of it was, you know, and you don't ever want to make excuses. But it was a unique situation that this franchise went through last year in terms of, you know, it being confirmed on May the 31st and then having to be up and running by the middle of September for training camp. So they had some unusual challenges. The one, and it's not like Claude did not shy away from that in his final State of the Union address, if you will, to the media. The first thing he said was, next year, these players are going to be a lot more accountable because I'm going to be a lot more tougher on them. So I think he recognized that. And as I mentioned at the outset with the conversation, yeah, they didn't probably score enough goals, but they have to get better defensively before they can take that step forward.
That's why the players don't want to come to an agreement. They don't want to.
It's going
to
get tougher.
Cross paths with
takes work.
Well.
Work.
thanks for doing this. By the way, have you heard any updates from Andrei Pavlich? I know the numbers weren't very good out of Europe.
No, Pavlik has actually started to play a little bit better. I mean, it couldn't have been a whole lot worse, you know, after his first six or seven games. But, you know, I went back and the path he was weaving, if you will, through the Czech League was almost similar to his start here with the Jets last season. You know, his numbers were slightly better with the Jets. But, I mean, he had some real rocky starts in October and then really picked it up in November. And it looks like he's doing the same thing in the Czech League, but they're still he still has not been back in Winnipeg to face the music, so to speak, for what happened in May as far as the DUI was concerned. So that's going to be a real interesting conversation when he and Kevin Cheveldayoff meet face-to-face, and then, of course, when the media has their chance to have Adam.
Thanks for doing this.
Hey,
be well, my friend.
Tunnels, thank you.
There's Kelly Moore, CJOB in Winnipeg. Pavlich does have trouble. That goes back to when he passed out in the season opening game against the Capitals, I believe.
It was. I mean, it's slow starts, and certainly with a team that struggles defensively and offensively, your goaltending needs to be.
And that, this is one of those teams where if you're a Senator fan, Leaf fan, obviously Montreal Canadian fan, that you're battling with in that Eastern Conference, and whether or not they make any strides and whether you can keep up with them right now.
No, absolutely. Rick made a great point. This is a team that you would have thought would have been stronger defensively because of the coach and his history, and that would be
surprised.
The system they'd put in place, knowing that they didn't have a lot of offense up front.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, were they not the team that had a 5-on-0 against them?
Yes.
Yes, they were. So,
how do you defend that?
Is that not good?
Okay.
Do you practice that a lot?
Yes, I did. With the legends and the old timers, it was like 5-on-1s. Rick, I'll be ready when you get it off them.
Well, I have seen that in practice, that teams do 5-on-0 just for puck movement.
Well, we used to do entry drills and stuff like that off the breakout and then transition and go.
Hey,
but, I mean, it was more about getting some offense going rather than giving up
on
defense.
On a 5-on-0.
Yes, tell me. Play it?
You're on the 5-on-0, okay?
Oh, never.
But okay. I'm going to put you in that situation.
Okay.
I'm going to grant you that opportunity.
I've got to bring back long memories.
Who shoots? Do you want to be the guy to shoot?
I think you pass too much. I would be the
You'd pass all the way into the goal and behind it.
Shot on net.
Do you really want to be the guy that shoots and the selfish guy to
the net? You're the guy that is the open ice break, when you shoot the puck down and there's an open net and it's just going over the line and you skate as hard as you can to tap it over it.
More on the NHL, NHLPA situation and the canceling of more games today. And we're still trying to track down George Laroque. Hopefully we can bring him on just to explain to us what yesterday's letter was really all about. You've heard the Canadian Hockey League side. Maybe the CHLPA will offer up a response. It's Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on Sportsnet.
Prime Time Sports with Bob McCowan, today at 4. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Unique edition of Hockey Central at Noon on this Friday. Friday Night Hockey tonight. BB Armato Moncton Wildcats. Right now, it's Darren Millard along with Rick Natras.
Who's playing in that game?
And
again?
Scott Morrison.
BB.
Armada.
Armada.
Blainville? Armada. It's a suburb of Montreal.
It is.
George Larocq is the executive director of the CHLPA. We had David Branch on earlier. George, before we get into this, how do you say that Blainville team, the entire name? Give me the pronunciation of it.
L'Armada de Blainville.
Okay. I'm not going to be saying that.
Good
either.
Luck with that one.
Yeah. I have to say Blainville. Thanks. By Montreal.
You're a big help.
Wait, Nick Natras could do it because he plays Montreal.
No, no. I got to take my teeth out. We're on TV, bud. No. George, how are you?
I'm very good. How you guys doing?
Good. We had a conversation with David Branch, and I'll be honest, he didn't seem overly motivated to discuss things about the six-page letter that was sent to the OHL yesterday because he still says he doesn't know who your organization is. Will you get together with him, and why haven't you to this point?
We've tried. We've sent him letters. He doesn't want to meet us. Don't you think we've tried? Our goal is not to go and meet a war with him. We want to create a partnership with the CHL, but they don't want to. So, and remember, the players in the executive board are tired of it. So, how long are they going to, how many letters are they going to have to send for them to finally recognize the fact that, yes.
So you sent an outline of your organization explaining who you are to him already?
And where you're funding and all that?
No, we sent him a letter to meet him because we wanted to meet him and stuff. And he declined. He doesn't want to. So there's nothing we could do. And we've been trying for months.
So why not send an outline of your organization to him so he can look at it? That's what he wants.
And get the meeting.
Listen.
We want to meet him. So he knows that this is serious. And I think that with what's going on today, what happened, if this is serious, and what the guys want to do, the goal of it, why they want to create the CHLP and stuff, it's never easy to create a union, and I know that, and I understand that. It wasn't easy when Tennessee tried to create the union for the NHL, for the NHLPA. You think the NHL was helping them out? You think that the commissioner of the NHL was helping Ted Lindsay when he did that? Yeah, it's not easy. It's hard, but it's a necessity, and it has to happen. And whether people are up there happy with it or not, it doesn't matter. We're doing it for the junior guys. It's their right to do so. And no owners, no commissioner, or no president of any league is allowed to talk against it because it's against the law. It's an unfair labor practice. So we have to respect the rights that the junior players, they want the union. And right now, that's what we're working for. And if the CHL doesn't want to negotiate with us, then we're going to have to go through court. And that's what we're doing right now.
But who is involved in this organization?
Players that are playing right now in the CHL, current players that are part of the executive board, they're the one that are making the decision.
Okay, George, when you say players, you guys went in, if there's 12 guys that want to do this, we'll do it, or there's 20 or 100, what is that number when you say they?
I can't discuss how many players are part of the executive board, but there's actually a form of current players that are playing in the CHL right now.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that are making the decision for the CHLP that was legally formed.
What's your official membership number?
What do you mean?
How many members do you have in the CHLPA that have signed on?
We have a few teams signed on because to do this lawsuit that we're doing right now, we needed teams from a couple different provinces to show the courts that we do have support from teams and from players that are from the CHL. To do this, we don't need to do every team for now. So, because the main focus right now is the lawsuit that we're working on and stuff against the CHL, in which for people, if they understand it and stuff, they would understand that it would obviously be better for the CHL to negotiate with us than to spend thousands of money for this lawsuit. Because just so people understand what this lawsuit is about, in 2000, the federal government said that junior players were employees. And the CHL went, they appealed it, and they lost. Which that means that the players are employees, all the players are allowed to get minimum salary. So if you look at that, and then you could, and even a player that were playing junior hockey could go back and demand that. You're talking about $500,000 in payroll a year. This is what the lawsuit is about. The players, they don't want any money. We want to go for education. But if they don't want to negotiate with us for the education plan that the player wanted to be better, if they go for minimum salary, they'll have enough money then for education.
But so, you still haven't told me how many members you have.
And who's paying for this?
Nobody's paying. We're all doing it for free. There's no money.
Well, how do you form a lawsuit, George? How do you get a lawsuit going and that without lawyers so everybody's pro bono?
We do have lawyers. Everybody's doing pro bono.
Pro bono.
That's what's amazing about this. All the lawyers working for this right now. We have lawyers who represent all the provinces. They're working for free for this cause, and which is what is amazing. Okay. We're all putting our time into it. There's no money. The players make $50 a week. You think the players are chipping in into it?
No, that's why that was the question.
That's why it was so hard to find people willing to do this for free.
Okay.
Because before they asked me to take this position, it asked many people that were more qualified than me, but they were asking for money. Mm. Some people that even work in your network that refused it because they asked money up front. But there's no money. We're all doing this for free, for the cause.
Okay,
and that's why we have to appreciate that and stuff. And this is not about, I'm not going to fight with you guys and explain to you guys why this, why that, why this.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know what the lawsuit is about, what should go, what the players want to do about the education, we'll talk about that. But this is not a thing to know what is its form, what's going on, this or that and this. The message, what's important, is that's what's important and stuff. The players, they want to do it for education. And it's the right to do so.
Well, I agree with you.
I'm tired of arguing with media that have interest of the league, and there's have a conflict of interest. They're never going to agree with a union. When most of the guys not agree to it, they play in the NHL, and they benefit from a union from the NHLPA, but they're against the CHLPA, which is all about education, not even about money. So that's why the technicality of who's in that, this and that, it doesn't make sense, because it's not what this is about. And now everybody all of a sudden wants to know, oh, this must be serious now because now there's a lawsuit. Well, ask the right question. Don't ask me about the composition of the board because the players, there's been intimidation been going on from teams, so they're not going to say...
Okay, what kind of intimidation, George? What kind of intimidation?
There's letters, there's coaches, there's owners that have been threatening players if you join the union. We have letters, we have videos, we have all type of stuff. It's illegal. It's unfair labor law practice.
From what owners, what coach... I'm giving you the stage here. What letter?
I can't say right now what owners did it and stuff because this is all going to go to court. And this is all part of negotiation when we're going to negotiate with the CHL when we go to court. They're all going to be exposed. But there's many owners, there's people that have give letters to players, emails to players, have threatened players. We have videos of that. We have clips, newspaper clips and stuff. And it's all unfair labor law practices. They can't do that. It's illegal. So all that stuff. It's all going to come public.
Okay, Georgia,
you can't do that. And if the players are 16 to 20 years old, in Canada, we do a worldwide campaign against intimidation. But why is it okay for people to do this to their own product, to their own players, when they're between 16 to 20 years old?
Well, that's the case, and that's not good. But, I agree on the 18 months. I think they've got to figure that out a little bit more because at 20 years old, I believe if you leave it too long on the table, they're not going to eat it, George. But if you take it off, some guys will wish they could do it again. You know what I mean? So yeah. I understand that. But when you talk minimum wage, how do you look at that? How do you look at what they're getting in, you know, return, the opportunity to learn on the ice every day, the travel, the food, the hotels, where they stay, all that kind of stuff. Does that not take into consideration what they're earning?
No, it is. But just so you know, first of all, we're talking about what the federal court ruling was, that they're employees. So ever since 2000, when it was confirmed they were employees, it's a court document, you could check it. Mm-hmm. They've been breaking the law every year since 2000. And the players, they don't want minimum salary. It's not the point. They want education.
Yeah.
But
okay.
If they don't want to negotiate with the CHLPA for better education, the only leverage the player has is to reinforce the ruling by the federal court. So that's why. That's not what they want. But if it isn't going to work, then with the minimum salary, they'll have enough money for their own education. So that's why when people are wondering what players the leverage has, how are they going to be able to have a union without paying a penny for it? Well, this is how. So that's why we encourage. We want to talk to you. How come since this lawsuit, we still haven't had any contact for David Branch or any president of the league to contact us and call us to talk about what we want and what the message is and stuff. Because that's the leverage the player has. The board, they're sick and tired of this. Fighting about this, people thinking they're
well, not you know as well as I do that when you're threatened with a lawsuit, your lawyer is going to say no contact with the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, again, that's fine. That's where we're at right now, and we're following procedure, and if it's where it's going to have to go for every single player of the league, that's what's going to happen.
Like, who's...
And then all I could say is that they've been trying for months to negotiate and try to talk to them. They don't want to. They don't take it seriously because just like David is saying, he said he doesn't know what the union is about, what it's composed of or whatever. Well, now he's going to know.
I was told your Western rep met with teams but wouldn't tell the players his last name.
Well, again, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. All those technicalities, all those things that you asked me about, it's not what's important. What's important right now and stuff is a message, what we want to do, and the fact that the players are informed, the fact that the players, they want to do this, and they want to ensure.
So who's the Western recruiter? Can you tell me who the Western recruiter is,
there's
George?
There's no official recruiter. It's not the way it works.
Okay, who's meeting with the teams out West?
There's tons of people meeting with the teams and stuff after I talk to them. I talk to many players, and what we do once we're ready to talk to them and stuff, like I send somebody there to meet the guys to do the signing and stuff, but I do the talking. I talk to the players and stuff. We translate the message to them. So we have lawyers talking to them and stuff. That's what we do. And once the team is ready, then we sign them over. When we're going to have to do the signing, I'm going to go there after when it's actually the vote that has to be done in front of the team coach or owners or whatever and stuff. But it's whoever. It's what's hard with this organization is to find people willing to do this for free. And it's hard because I get lots and lots of offers, people that want to work. But they don't know that everybody's doing it for free. That's why it's so hard. People have been asking me about the message. You guys don't do enough good enough job to translate the message. Well, it's hard to find people willing to work for free. I'm sure even if I asked you guys want to join the organization and work for free and then quit what you're doing right now, you're not going to do that. And that's what's been amazing. I've been able to find people that were willing to do this for the guys, for the players, for the education. And for once, people that are fighting, it's not about money. It's about education. And we even have a letter that confirms from the NCAA that we found a way so the players don't lose their eligibility to play in the NCAA, yeah, even if they play junior hockey. Yeah. So they could play 4 years junior hockey and then go get their scholarship in the NCAA for another 4 years, so 8 years of hockey, getting free scholarships.
George, we got to fly.
And then they won't have to pay for their scholarship.
Thanks for stating your side, though. We appreciate it coming on, okay? George LaRocque, CHL PA Executive Director.
Would it not be a lot easier if he went to them and said, here's our organization, we have a membership of X number of players, and here's who they are, and that would get Dave Branch's attention?
It would, and the intimidation factor on doing it and not doing it is still there. Both sides of that for the kid, for the individual kid himself.
CHL players are considered professionals because they play against other players who have signed professional contracts. It's not about the money, but that's why you're considered professional. We'll continue to track the story on Friday Night Hockey.